Father, we open this precious book again, and we thank you for the privilege to be able to have a basis of something that we know is God-given, God-inspired. And Lord, when we reopen this book, it's the very voice of God. I believe that with all my heart. And that's why I don't like to spend so much time in it. I believe every time I read it, exactly what God would be saying himself if he was right here before us, materialize himself in any way at this time, because it's what the Holy Spirit inspired to write and put it together and kept it and preserved it for our particular day. Lord, we either have your word or we don't. If we don't have your word, we're helpless. We do have your word, and we have all we need to know. Keep our focus on you until you get us out of this mess we're in this world, and get us home on the other side. Until that day comes, help us to broaden our mind as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and be able to stand our firm ground on the things about our God and his plan and purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Now let's go back, and I want, first of all, you know, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I believe that, don't you? But that's too simple in a lot of people's mind. And when you move on over and get into 1 John chapter 1, we'll read that, and you can turn with me, we'll read very fast if possible. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. But verse 3 says, and all things were made by him, by who? This Word, which is we know as Jesus Christ. And without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, all things were made by him, and without him not anything made is made. He's saying that you can't find anything on this earth that in sense has to do with existing, not things that we've taken where God has created and made other things out of, but the things that came to exist to start with was created by God. Out of nothing, out of a vacuum, God created it. So we have, in the beginning, God created heavens and earth. Here we have that all things were made by him, and without him not anything was made that was made. Now, I also see in Ephesians chapter 3, just to give you another, I want to give you some Bible verses first. In Ephesians chapter 3, if you look down about verse 9, this Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. He said, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which was from the beginning of the world had been hid in God. Now, he's writing to make all men see this thing about the history, he said, with the beginning of the world, or to make all men see that what is the fellowship of that mystery which is hidden God who created all things, watch this, by Jesus Christ. So not only we see what John said in John 1:3, but also Paul is confirming that by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Why not? Because the Holy Spirit is leading both of them. He's inspiring both of them, John and also the Apostle Paul. Now if you look over with me Colossians chapter 1 and down about verse 16, you'll find he says this. In verse 15, he said, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 16, he said, for by him, again, that's by the Lord Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in the heavens and that are in the earth. Notice this, visible, notice, and invisible. He's covering all the territory here. Watch it. He said, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Now, that's a powerful verse of Scripture. They say, well, you don't have anything but a bunch of words. But wait a minute, they're God's words. They have words too, but their words are not God's word. They're man-made, humanistic words made up to try to define things in life, to give them credit, to discredit God. And it's all satanic. But this is the Word of God. And then we see in Hebrews chapter 1, he says this in verse 2. He said, and hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. He said, God who at sundry times and divers manners spake times past with the fathers to the prophets. He said, but hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heirs of all things, by whom also he made the world. So I think that's enough that we can look at now to understand that God created all things, and it's through and by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as far as I'm concerned, whether you say Christ created or God created, both of them are synonymous, and therefore the power is the same. And it's not, sometimes it's if God did it by Christ, or Christ did it himself. Well, if God did it by Christ, looks like Christ would be involved in it. What I'm saying to you, the Godhead was in charge, and through Jesus Christ, I think we find creation through Christ because he's the one that gives us this thing of the new birth. And so what God says, what everyone else says. So where we are in life today, the same thing that's going on since Genesis and Nimrod and what God said and what Satan says through Nimrod started the world system. We're listening to what man has to say or what God has to say. Now, we say this is what God has to say. They say, no, God didn't say that's a book somebody wrote. Well, listen, everything they say comes from something somebody writes or they have written out of their own mind, which is fallen. And since they have no alternative to believe there is a God, then they come up with foolish things. If you be honest with anyone with an intelligent mind, would find out that it's foolish to think the way they think. And yet, they think that because of believing in God's the only alternative, and by the way, believing God is the only alternative. That's all there is to it. But believing that that's the only alternative, the only thing they can do is come up with something that sounds so intelligent that maybe Satan can cause people to believe that, and he is causing them to believe that things just came out of a big bang, they originated in themselves, and there's no intelligent mind behind it, and therefore it's all going to be obliterated one of these days anyhow. So I want us to begin and just begin to use a thought of reason. Now, I've given you what God has to say. I've gave you a number of verses, and there's others we could go to, but it's enough to give us credibility that God himself did the creation, and it's through and by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's come back, though, and think like they do to talk about using just a, let's use the way of reasoning that they say about these things. I mean, suppose, and you've heard these before, but I'm going to lay a few of these out just to gain where people talk, where we would say, if this would happen, does this sound reasonable? Suppose that in our particular day that I could be able to gather enough lumber and bricks and mortars and nails and everything that was needed to pile in a pile somewhere or another. I mean, enough to build a two-story house, and yet I had everything that was needed in that pile. And I would put it somewhere or another and say, well, within a period of time, all the rain and the currents and everything that takes place comes along, will eventually rub that around over a few thousand, maybe a few million years. Then suddenly, as that material is just dealt with and so forth, out of its own, it would build a two-story house for someone to live in. Is that a reasonable thought? It doesn't make sense, does it? Because more than likely, if you had that stuff and put it somewhere, even if it would be that type which is doesn't rot, you know, you can buy lumber that preserve it in certain ways. Well, but eventually what would happen, even that would wear off. Now, the thing those weather currents would do is just make it destroy faster. You look at anything in life, you put a house, I don't care, you build the best house in this country and let it stay there a few years, it is not long before it'll deteriorate and fall down if you don't do something to it. So that makes sense. Well, let's go a little further though. Let's suppose that I pitch a bunch of newspapers into a washing machine and they tumble them around long enough and suddenly had it preserved it where they would stay there, and after about a few million years, they would eventually arrange themselves in the form of a dictionary or some other book with every word spelled correctly, every punctuation marked as in its right place, every paragraph is properly indented, and everything you needed for good, correct English and writing was together, and you got this book. It created itself. Ladies and gentlemen, is this reasonable for an intelligent mind? In fact, the first one sounds even more intelligent than the second one. First one's just as foolish as the second one. So what I'm saying is, no, the idea that the universe came together in existence as the result of mere chance or as the result of non-intelligent forces or the world interacting with lifeless matter, it's simply ridiculous. There's no way in the possible, no logical, reasonable, intelligent person who thinks that matter can come from a non-existent universe to a wonderful world and universe like we have today and see it and be able to not only just see and hear of it, but investigate it with modern-day technology. This is the result of blind chance. Why, that's foolish. The pathway of physical force without intelligent reaction is a foolish thing because they've got to be intelligent behind something. That means it's alive to produce anything. Now, when I began to realize that a vast number of people in the world today, they try to rule God out, and in many regards to creation especially, and they rule him out not so much because, you know, they may not deep down inside believe there's a God, but they feel like they can rule him out. They don't have to stand before it. And a person seeking convinced, well, if you can just convince yourself God doesn't exist, then you don't have to worry about standing before him. If you say he does exist, then if God exists, everybody's going to have to stand before him one day. But if he doesn't exist, then we just put him down, put him out of the way. And somehow or another, they have the feeling, if I can just discredit him and he not exist, then I won't never have to stand before him. But they're going to be fooled one day. You can deny him all you want to, but he's alive and well, and he's still sitting on the throne. And one day we will stand before him, and God teaches us that in this life. And so those who try to rule God out of the act of creation, it do so because they're not willing to bring their lives into harmony with his will, not because the evidence is against belief in an omnipotent eternal creator, but the fact is that they think, if I can get him out of my mind and convince him, Satan, by the way, if you want not to believe that God exists, Satan will help you out. I guarantee you he will. He'll let people pass by you that looks a whole lot smarter than some people who say they do believe that he exists. But smartness don't have anything to do with it. In fact, a smart person is one who does believe that God exists. And so the only adequate and sensible explanation of how the universe came into existence is that it's set forth by our text in Genesis 1, starting, I read to you, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the other text that I give to you after that. That's in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and all things were made by him, and without him not anything was made, John 1, 3 and 4, and Colossians 1, 16. Now, then, one of the most simple principles of science, and I thank God I learned a little something when I was at science many years ago. One of the simple principles of science that I found out years ago and rehearsed recently is that for every effect, there must be a cause sufficient to produce that effect. There's got to be a cause to produce that effect. That effect will not produce itself. It has no life in it. Nothing happens unless something causes it to happen. And nothing happens without an adequate cause. Now, give an example, and you've seen this before, and I'm going to use it again because everybody's familiar with this. You've heard it, and I'm going to say it again and repeat it. Fine, we need to hear it. If someone would come to me and say, Charlie, see this watch here? Yeah. I want to tell you, over in Switzerland, there some men got together one time and drew up a plan and began to talk about, we want to make something that keeps time. And they began to work, and they drew up a plan. And then they found parts and began to experiment. And then they drew up individual plans for making individual parts. And over a period of about 4 or 5 years, they came up with this thing we call a watch. It is so accurate that it can keep time right to the very second. And even someone tell you the date. And some of them they've got nowadays that they can make and tell you time all over the world in them. Now, is that reasonable to believe? Yes. Why? Because a mind was behind it, right? A mind was behind it. There was an intelligent being. They sat down and said, hey, we need some way to keep time. Let's get away from the old sundial and let's make a watch. And so in Switzerland, a person went together, got the team together, minds got together, formed everything that was needed, put things together over a trial and error period of time, a mind designed that watch. And it's a wonderful thing for our society today. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. When it comes down to this, and you think about this, suppose someone would come along. Now, listen, this may sound foolish, but everything about evolution is foolish. Suppose someone came along and said, you know what happened? There's a time. Now, I can say this. This makes sense to me because I can see that if you have spoken of a cause sufficient to bring a watch into being, then you can see how it could come into being. But on the other hand, if you tried to make me believe that a housefly sat down on a biscuit and bit part of it off and chewed it up for a few 100,000 years and suddenly a watch just appeared out of nowhere that weighs more, thousands of times more than a housefly, that don't even make sense. But now, wait a minute, preacher, nobody's going to ever say anything like that. What they're saying is just as ridiculous. Just as ridiculous. I mean, it is the fake of the intelligence of trying to make someone believe something that's not there. And in turn, they find themselves getting ahead because Satan's behind all of that. What happens is this. You produce the watch that weighs way under that, and then your cause is simply not adequate to produce any such effect as the watch that I hold in my hand. if you say it did it itself. There is no way for it. The cause of men's mind is not only adequate, but powerful enough and the ability to bring that watch into existence. But without a mind, there cannot be a sufficient power nor mind adequate to do that by doing his own self. Things do not come out of material that has no life in it in the sense of creating itself in a vacuum. Just doesn't do that. So what are we saying? We're saying that God, only God is sufficiently great enough and intelligent enough to create this universe. And he did it when you see talking about atoms and molecules and matter. We take the matter we see and we rearrange it. This is wood, came out of from atoms and molecules. This is wood, and we took wood and rearranged. Now we have a desk here, those pews you're sitting in. We can rearrange things that God has created. We can make things from what God has created, but as far as creation is concerned. Now, every created thing must have a creator. And the creator must be sufficiently great, and he must be powerful enough to do the creation. But you can be powerful enough, and you can be big enough to do something, but if you don't have the intelligence behind and design, it ain't worth 2 cents. And I thought about that. We live in a wonderful universe. It's so wonderful, made, that mortal man does not have the mental capacity to understand it all. Would you say amen to that? I'm telling you, what I see now blows my mind. I just love, I'd be glad when I get glorified body. I hope the Lord lets us just go and experiment and look some things in time to see what God really did do. I mean, it's a universe that at one time, hear me, what we see and what we don't see that we know is there because of what we have seen, and for as far as we've protruded so far, it's still there. All of that one time did not exist. Now, wait a minute, preacher, you don't know that. Yes, I do. Why? Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. See, God had no beginning, but what he did there did, as far as time is concerned. He created time for do things, and when time is... God is, if we could get in our mind, it's hard. God is from everlasting past up to he created time. And in time, he created some things to do in the plan of his will. And one of these days, time's going to run out and we'll emerge back into eternity. And then we'll be back to the now. We won't be walking in heaven and say, you know, this is such time, such day. We're going to live in the now. See, when you're not deteriorating, you don't have to worry about time. Amen? But Todd, you don't have to worry. If you're not deteriorating, man, you should live. And you find out when you live like that, you live right, because we'll be like God has made us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have this. And so the only sensible explanation of how it came into being is that it was created by one whose power and might was adequate to produce it. The entire universe stands therefore, listen to me, the entire universe today stands therefore as a plain evidence that there is a divine, all-powerful creator great enough to create a world such as this and keep it together by the word of his power. If he's got the power to create it, he's got the power to keep it together. And that's exactly what he's going to do. And that's reading Psalm 19, verse 1. He says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Now, but if someone were to tell me that a big white bull did all these things, even if it had life, a bull has life, did all these things, I wouldn't believe it. Now why? You say it has life? Yes. Let me tell you why. Now notice I've already said, talked about life, and I've talked about God giving life, but now God gave life to a bull. But let's suppose, say that someone come along and said, you know, a bull weighs 1,500 pounds did this. What do you mean? Created that watch. I wouldn't believe that. Let me tell you why. Did you know it's not because a bull isn't big enough to do it. It's not that a bull is not powerful enough, because he's a very powerful animal, right? But he's not intelligent enough, nor is he adequate enough. He doesn't have the ability to do this. So it'd be foolish even to use an animate person, like animate part that God created, to say that had some power to bring about the creation. The only thing a bull can do as far as a cow is concerned is produce other cows. But even then, its instinct is not, you know, isn't it an amazing thing how God made us different? A bull doesn't go around and say, you know, I like that cow right there. I sure like to, I'd like to marry her. No. No. It's instinct. It's just, it's the way it does. But God has given us a mind to seek out a mate and let it be the one God would give us. And hopefully in doing that, that God would be sensitive enough to have the right one in turn so that God could let us live together, not only here, but in heaven forever on the other side. So here, I say to it that it's not because the bull was not powerful enough to produce the effect, but because the bull was not intelligent enough and did not have the ability enough to produce the effect. A white-faced bull is big enough to make a watch, it's powerful enough to make a watch, but it neither has the intelligence nor the ability to make a watch, and therefore even there it cannot be done. So that proves to me that if you look at what evolution says and take it a created animal, it doesn't have the power to do what evolution says to do. And by the way, there's not such a thing as a half man and half animal. That's fantasy world. That's God's word taught, been created for different times for people to believe. So to have a universe such as we have now, ladies and gentlemen, demands that it have a creator not only powerful enough to bring it into being, but also a creator who sufficiently has the ability and intelligence of bringing it into being. And when he brings it into being, it fits it all together that it works perfectly like it should. Did you know all the laws that God made for thousands of years still work perfectly like he set it up? Do you know procreation is working just like he set it up with Adam and Eve with 6,000 years plus later? It works. You know the law of gravitation works just like it did when God created it? If you don't believe it, try it. Get on the bed and jump off and see what happens. What are you saying? I'm saying when God sets things in order, he don't have to worry about it giving out unless he wants it to give out, because he's in charge of it, and it works for us in that way. So I thought about, again, you're talking about gathering material in a house one place and then wait for it to kind of fall together and result and come out by blind chance. It's foolish. I mean, can you imagine the material, again, to build a house in one place, and then you wait for the force of the universe to assemble himself around, and suddenly after a few thousand years, I was thinking about just put down a Baptist parsonage. The truth of the matter is that the natural forces would come around. If you really look at what they're saying, the natural forces that would come a thousand times nearer to scattering the material to a distant place than it would have to assemble them in order to make something like a Baptist parsonage. As a matter of fact, you put all that material in a pile and probably be scattered to the floor. You couldn't even find it over a period of time rather than coming together like that. Now, I read a story, and I think it's good here, between two men. One was a Bible believer, born-again child of God, and the other was an atheist. They were at the same college, and they were professors at a college. And they were scientists. And, of course, they were close friends, but they had a battle every time they got together. Of course, they would. The born-again Christian believed in creation by the hand of God. The atheists, of course, did not believe in it at all. They had a lot of debates. They didn't ever have fights or nothing. They respect each other's position in that lie. And while the atheists did not seem to resent his friend in effort to convert him, he held to the belief that Christian belief in God and creation simply did not make sense to him. And so it was his belief that the whole world and everything in it just evolved around the forces inherent in it. In short, that the world just created itself without the direction of an intelligent being beyond a greater than itself. That is, that be like, let's say, this, if you get right down to it, this pulpit as it is now has the ability to create another pulpit just like it with no outside help. Just get in the right environment, it'll do. No. It has no life whatsoever. If we don't keep it up and it stays here long enough, it would disintegrate just like anything else is made. As a matter of fact, time is the means of measuring deterioration. I learned that many years ago. Everything, unless you keep it up, does differ. So finally one day, the Christian professor thought, he said, I've got to find some way to find out. He knew this guy liked things that's made that had to do with maps and globes. So he had a globe made that was a beautiful globe, size of the earth in the sense of its scale, though it was only about 2 or 3 foot wide, and had every continent, everything on it. And when he got it, he knew this guy would, this atheist would enjoy it, because he just liked things like that. And so he got it made, put it on the axis, and set it in his study. And when he got it just like it was, it was shiny, beautiful, little lights and everything on the thing. And he called this guy in and said, "I want you to come see something I just got." And when he walked inside, the atheist studied it for a while, and he said this, "That's one of the finest globes I've ever seen in my life. Could I ask you who made it?" And this brother said, "Nobody." He said, "Come on now, quit messing with me. You're fooling me, aren't you? Who made it?" He said, "Nobody." He said, "Nobody made it. Where'd you get it?" He said, "Nowhere." "When you know, somebody had to make it." He said, "No, it just happened. Just one day it was here, and I found out that where it was at over millions of years, it just come into existence, and I found it, and right here it is at this time." Maybe it said, he said, maybe it started from a blob of protoplasm back yonder a few million years ago. And that atheist said, "Whoa, wait a minute, stop right now, you got me. I see what you're talking about." Isn't it amazing how to use something that's simple, you see what you're talking about? You're telling me that if that globe couldn't bring itself into existence as it is, then this creation can't bring itself into existence. That's right. And he says, "You're in the right. There's got to be an intelligent design behind it." And ladies and gentlemen, this is much greater than a globe on a stand, Brother Howard. I don't understand how anywhere in the world could get beyond this. This understanding, we have to now to go further as we think about who created. It's rehearsal for most of us, but that who created what we see. Now we can move on to other things, and I want to do that as we talk about God, the self-existing one, and what he can do. I want to read this, and this will be the last thing. I found this, and it amazes me. It would be, what would a evolutionist or a science, modern-day science today, if he was going to write a story about creation, how would it be? Now, we have the stories. Wonderful, I think, to see God said just a few things, but when you get through reading, studying the book, the Bible as a whole, you see God's a great person who can do. Not only is he powerful enough, he's big enough, and he's certainly intelligent enough to do what he tells he's going to do. But this is what it said. If a modern scientist were to rewrite the first chapter of Genesis, and I can read this from the Globe, it might sound something like this. Now, we know what God's Word says. The universe began with a singular or big bang 14.7 billion years ago. The earth was formed about 4.5 billion years ago. And during its first 500 million years, it was under constant bombardment from asteroids and meteorites. It was at this time that our moon was born, probably being a hunk chunk of the earth dislodged due to a giant asteroid strike. Then in the next 150 million years, microlife appeared in the ocean. Scientists have yet to discover how this came about, but it continued for several billion years. Then suddenly, 550 million years ago, a large number of new life forms appear in what is called the Cambrian explosion. 400 million years ago, plants appeared on the dry land. 30 million years ago, animals appeared on the land. The dinosaurs appeared 230 million years ago and then suddenly disappeared about 65 million years ago. When scientists believe the Earth was struck by a large asteroid on the Yukon Peninsula in Mexico, the mass extinction that followed cleared the way of the rise of mammals on the planet. A number of humanoid types appeared over the last few hundred thousand years. All of them have died out except Homo sapiens, which is ourselves, who date from about 995,000 years ago. That's their writing, similar in how when it comes to creation. I know what you were laughing at, but some of these words are hard to say. I'll tell you. I want to say to you, though, this is a lie. And somebody got your mind in their own track. That's all. This right here is a lie. A pure lie. And yet, this right here become the gospel to a lot of minds. And this right here, what God says is a fake. God is a self-existing one. And I enjoyed this study because he's really proved to me some things that I knew, but I don't know. You just grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, and suddenly you get sent on that God is so great, he just blows your mind. He just blows it. It's just amazing how he is. Father, we thank you. And Lord, I know this. We're grateful that you're willing to reveal yourself to us. And the world looks and wonders why in the world we're like we are. And yet we see how much you love this human race. They think we're on a trip that we made up and just like. And Lord, it's not that at all. There's not a person who's born again that realize if I had just born myself in what I thought was the family of God, I'd born myself out real quick like. But thank God I know there's a birth to get me in this world. And the new birth in Jesus Christ is a birth to get me in the spiritual world. And I have the spiritual world now because of the new birth in this body until God gets us home and gets us put in a glorified body. And I thank you for that. And Lord, when I see what little I understand, I don't understand much, but I thank you for what little I understand. When I see what you have done and begin to grasp it by faith, then I understand more about what the new birth means and why God gives us instructions about how he has planned to use his church as the body of Christ made up of redeemed children in the age of grace who've been born, bought by a price, trust Christ, and been born into the family of God to be his hand, to work through walking by faith. Sometimes Satan has a field day, and even over God's people, but then God can turn to him just like he did with Job and say, you tried him, look at him. Look at that person. Look at those men in the Middle East that gave their life. Their heads were chopped off. Not because they were gangsters or trying to insurrect as far as a nation is concerned. They simply just trust me, what I say. They were willing to give their life for me. And Satan has a hard time with that. And we pray that that's where we'd be, Lord, as we learn about you. Let this be a place. It's one thing to shout and thank God for time, maybe that's needed. But Lord, you said, growing grace and knowledge of the Lord. We need facts and we need biblical facts. And that's what these lessons such as this does. It helps us to be established in that which thus saith the Lord. And the word is hid in our heart. And in so doing, there is a practical side that comes out. That's the reason I thank God that salvation starts inside and works out. Religion starts outside and works in. And a lot of times, if it starts outside and works in, you can get rid of it as quick as you got it. But when it starts inside and works out, Lord, it becomes part of us. And we thank you for that. Bless you, those who come and give their time here. And I pray and be not disappointed, Lord, that we'd enjoy the fellowship and in turn what we see, that you can make yourself real to us by faith in Jesus Christ. It's in his name we ask this great blessing. Amen.